And then I know everyone's been playing some Civ still.
Well, on Sunday, I was actually really proud of myself because I got a cultural victory.
That is, I told someone that, and they were like, bullshit.
What's a cultural victory?
All right, so in Civ, you can win several different ways.
Okay.
You can win either by playing like 900 turns and getting to the year 2050.
And being in the lead.
And being in the lead points. You can win a political victory where you build the UN, and then you win enough votes.
You don't actually have to build the UN.
Well, someone builds the UN, right. And then enough people vote for you to be leader of the UN. You can win a science victory where you have your culture build a bunch of the pieces of a spaceship and you launch it. And then you can win a military victory, take people over. And then you can win a cultural victory, which is where you complete five of these culture trees. Basically, you just have a society that's like beautiful, full of opera houses, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. So you become Canada.
You become Canada. Basically, Canada.
We are Vancouver.
Canada is actually that's a really good metaphor in a way, because cultural victories, they want you to be a much smaller society that's just way more awesome.
Yeah, yeah. The game is actually designed so that like if you expand too much, there's actually a kind of a culture tax in a way. It decreases your amount of culture output.
The weather took an extremely fast turn for the worst. It went from summer to late fall in literally one day. So for the last two or three days, it's been cold and windy. And sort of dark. And it's reminding me of what winter is like in Canada. Especially since I just can't get myself out of bed before noon. I lose a lot of sun. Even just today, it's like 4:30, and I'm like, fuck, I gotta get out of the house, dude. I need to leave. I need to go soak up some kind of outdoorsness. This is gonna start fucking with my head. So I'm just kind of walking. I have a ticket to the exhibition, because I went yesterday with Picard and some of his friends, and it was awesome. I've never been to an exhibition before. They have a little one in my hometown, but my parents never took me, because, their thing was, we went to Disneyland, and like, pfft. Compared to Disneyland, you're not going to give a shit about this shitty local fair or the crappy little Ferris wheel or whatever. And I was like, yeah, goose. So we never went. Pretty lame, really. But yeah, it was fun. We just hung out, drank some incredibly expensive beer. My absurd fear of heights kept me from actually going on any of the Ferris wheel type shit. But just to see the spectacle of it was cool, especially once the sun went down and all the big lights on everything, and it's just so gaudy. It's like a movie. It's like every movie you ever saw, you know? And this one being in Toronto is really big. It's all corn dogs, and they have this shit deep-fried butter that I didn't get a chance to try. The longest line was for deep-fried butter or bacon-covered chocolate. I mean, chocolate-covered bacon. If I do go back at all today, it'll just be to try those. Because me and Picard, his name's John, me and John kind of accidentally snuck in. You know, I didn't intend to. I was going to pay for a ticket, but the place is so big and disorganized, we just kind of wandered in while we were trying to meet his friend. So his friend had an extra ticket, so I still got it. So I could get in if I want to. It's a pretty long walk, though. We'll see if I make it. Just eat some disgusting bacon with chocolate on it. I don't know if that's such a good plan. But it's an excuse to walk, get out of the house, listen to some music. So I've been paring down my MP3 player a lot, dropping the axe on a lot of albums that just were not doing it for me anymore. It's getting tired of putting my shit on shuffle and just skipping a million songs in a row. So Kesha's album, for instance, is boiled down to Backstabber that I played before and this song called Hungover. I was just listening to it and I was like, yeah, I kind of dig that song still. Let's put that one in a show. Oh, one thought that just came to me just because I just walked past some East Indian folk is Toronto is extremely multicultural. Maybe more so than Vancouver. Like, Vancouver has got a lot of Asians, but it seems like it's half Asian, half white dudes, and then a little bit of other stuff. Whereas Toronto is much more of a general mix of different types of people. So that's what was weird about that fair. It felt like, I mean, everything was so low, just like the worst food and the gaudiest attractions and the white trashiest people. except they weren't all white. You know, it was like being in Alabama, except incredibly multicultural Alabama. It's pretty weird. Anyway, here's Hungover by Kesha.
And now the sun is rising, another long walk back home. There's just so many faces, but no one I need to know. Need to know. In the dark, I can't fight it. I fake till I'm numb. But in the bright light, I taste you on my tongue. Now the party's over, and everybody's gone. I'm left here with myself, and I wonder what went wrong. And now my heart is broken, like the bottles on the floor. Does it really matter, or am I just hungover? You. Or am I just hungover? Even my dirty laundry, everything just smells like you.
Sometimes when I listen back to old episodes, I'm like, you know, it reminds me of songs, and I'm like, oh yeah, that song, you know, like, I Hate Milk by Air Miami, that was a fucking cool ass song, shit like that. I have a feeling that Kesha song is not going to be one of those songs. I always say that when I play a Kesha song, but yeah, I'm going to listen back to that in a couple of years and just be like, huh? Huh? That was your thing? So I do not believe I will be making it to the carnival today, because the weather's way too shitty. It's really windy. But it says, I was walking down along the waterfront, they're having some big international food/trinket festival. So I was like, oh, look at that. The beauty of being in Canada's biggest city. Just walk down the street. Crazy shit like that's going on. So I stopped in there and I got some jerk chicken. And even that's just kind of cool to get like jerk chicken served to you by some Jamaican ladies and then go eat it down by the water on this dreary, cold, miserable day. It's really, feels very Atlantic today. My maritime roots, you know, like this has that vibe of being by the Atlantic Ocean on a sort of shitty day. But yeah, what a crazy world we live in, right? Just get to eat crazy ass Jamaican food. Nowhere near Jamaica. It has the exact same kind of rice that they had at the curry goat place by Ian's house in Brooklyn. The most boring rice on the earth. Nothing you can do makes it good. Doesn't matter what you try to add. Maybe if you had like some mango or something. But yeah, just really boring. The actual food though was good. But man, at that carnival, fucking ridiculous. Everything is on a stick. You can get pizza on a stick. John's other friend John bought a piece, a slice, and then hadn't quite finished it when he was going to get on the Ferris wheel, which I was not going to get on because I'm a pussy and I'm scared of heights. Like psycho scared. Too scared for a Ferris wheel. So I was just standing there finishing off his pizza on a stick, and man, I got stopped by like four different people like, is that pizza on a stick? And I was like, it sure is. You can get it right down there. And they're like, wow, that's a really good idea. And I was thinking, you know, I could have swore that was a really stupid idea made by fucking crazy people. But hey, if you say so, you're the boss, champ. So I was just sitting on a bench down by the lake, reading a book, even though it's cold and windy out. I was like, fuck it. Gotta spend a little time outdoors. Gotta sort of try to feel connected to the fucking world again. It's not only just being inside and on the computer, but it's so weird how the internet I have, it's this wireless signal that comes and goes, and it's like custom designed to just tweak the part of my brain that makes me really fucking pissed off. You know, I'm right in the middle of trying to send like a Twitter message or something to somebody, and then the internet just dies and I'm fighting with it and trying to reload, and so frustrating. It's like playing keep away, you know? It's amazing how much it makes me lose my temper. So yeah, even though it's a little shitty out, it's like I gotta stay outside a bit. Stop feeling like a nutbag. But then, just as I was taking a break to write a postcard to my 101-year-old grandma, big raindrop fell right on it. It's like, ooh, I better go home. It's starting to rain a little bit. So I'm gonna stick with my streak of Our Lady Peace. I don't know how many shows in a row I've played an Our Lady Peace song, but it's going to be at least another couple more, because I got some stuff saved up. In this case, it's a little live acoustic version of that song, Angels Losing Sleep, that I played recently. Hyper ridiculously gorgeous. That guy, Rain Maida, he's a really good singer live. Or at least when he's not belting it out, when he's just doing a soft song. Very, very pretty. Very pretty tune. Angels Losing Sleep. There's people nearby now, so I'm talking quieter. Acoustic version by Our Lady Peace.
Looks like the Holy Ghost is gone. Now you're afraid of yourself. Over your shoulder you have to watch heaven fall into hell. Looks like you bounce about to sink. So it's time to prepare. Even the angels are losing sleep, and the sign walks up there. It's like the calm before the storm. looking back here again.
Okay, I'm back home, so this is going to be the end of this episode, unless I spontaneously record some more shit before I get this together and posted, in which case there'll be more, because a lot of times I'm like, yeah, end of the show, and then it's not the end of the show. It's just how these shows work, they're mysterious. So I'm going to end with just some shit I recorded a few days ago when I was walking around, just some notes I had, some ideas for a potential future XO episode, but it's such a tiny little abstract notion of an idea for a show that if I do get around to it, it will be no time soon because XO episodes take a long time to make. So instead of just tossing this in a folder and letting it sit there for a year and not letting anyone hear it, fuck it, let's just throw it out there and I can still use it for an XO later if I want to. I think that's definitely one reason I've been feeling a little, just a little less invested in ham radio. It's because if I ever do have any fucking deep thoughts, then I try to make them into an XO episode instead. So, you know, most of the time the show is just what it is now, you know, just like some rambling blog, just some blah, 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 here's what's going on in my life. But, you know, every once in a while I would get into some interesting topics, or more interesting, but not so much now. This show has narrowed in focus, to its detriment. Well, I mean, it's good overall, because XO knocks my own socks off. It's so cool. But anyway, I'm going to play those notes, and then I'm going to finish off with a couple Sloan songs. I've been going through the Sloan catalog, thinking I might do a show about Sloan. And there's enough ham radios now. Like, sometimes I think, like, I want to play a song, like Burn and Rob by Paleface. I'm like, fuck, I can't believe I never played that. I should dig that up and play it. And then I look through, and I realize I did play it. And I don't think I ever played this particular combo before, but I had this idea like 2 years ago, so maybe I did. But if I did, I'm going to do it again. There's this Sloan song called Autobiography from their third album, One Chord to Another. It's maybe the most clever song I've ever heard in my whole life. It's just insane. Just so awesomely constructed, the weird little wordplay. Super great. It's just a fantastic 10 out of 10 wicked song. And then years later, Chris Murphy did sort of a follow-up song, almost like a sequel to that song. And the sequel song is not nearly as good, but it's sort of the same. It's like the first one is his autobiography, then the second one is they're making a movie of his life based on the autobiography type of thing, and it's just not as catchy a song. Not as inventive. But it's kind of cool how the two go together. So, some random thoughts, and then some Sloan.
This could be good for a future XO, probably about punk rock shows. Just about how the two major influences in my life were nerdery and punk. Because I'm walking around downtown Toronto, it's a Saturday night, it's like 12:30 at night. Feeling extra, I don't know, excluded and weird. It's all the clubbers and shit out, and I just don't feel like I fit today at all. It's weird because it's the first really cold weekend of the fall. So there's not nearly as many people, nearly as many girls with like little short skirts and stuff. So the ones that are dressed up in their club get up, they really stand out. You really gotta be dedicated. You're gonna be that cold. And it really makes me feel like I'm in Wild Kingdom or something. Like, it's just, it's like watching a pack of gazelle go by. It's just this very whole thing. It's so animalistic and weird. Anyway, walking east on Queen Street West, walk past a gaggle of nerds, just the nerdiest motherfuckers that they're out for whatever reason. Very unbalanced male to female ratio. Yeah, they came down the street looking all nerdy and drunk, and just instantly I felt better. It's like, I could hang out with those guys. That would be no problem. And then a couple minutes later, I walked past the other side of the spectrum. A couple of, like, farm boy punks, you know? The kind that are just kind of big, husky dudes. Just have fun with punk, you know? Big smiles. Sleeveless jean jacket. Patches and shit on it. Ugly but happy. And again, it's just like, I could hang out with that guy too. It's no problem. We would get along so well. So it's weird, those two sides of the spectrum. The nerds and the punks, they both put me totally at ease. But then down the middle, the fucking clubbers, man. I don't care for that at all. Oh, another one. Guy walked by with his wife. He seemed like he was probably like 35. Just a dude in a sweater with his wife. I don't know. That guy also is just like, yeah, man. We sit around and watch TV and drink beer with that guy. Maybe it's just the people that aren't peacocking, you know? Not trying to fucking intimidate. Maybe these the club fucks are not trying to intimidate. Maybe that's just me, but... And I guess you could argue that the punk kid is trying, but that's not how I interpret that.
Certainly the former, but I'm not so much the latter. I'm sure it doesn't matter. When you find that you're the former, take pride in how you form. And when you find that you're the latter, don't shave too high.
Anyway. I recorded that episode of Ham Radio some time ago, 2 or 3 weeks at least, but I used up all the space in my account for the month, so I couldn't post it. I could upgrade my account, but what's the hurry, you know? It's not like any of this shit is so fucking important, so I just had to wait for October to roll around before I could post stuff, so I figured I'd record some more stuff. Because it's now like a couple of weeks after, and it'll still be in a little while before I even post this. But yeah, it's I had my birthday the other day, September 18th, but today is September 24th. The weather's starting to get pretty fucking dodgy in Toronto. It's very hard to predict it. Just a sec, I'm not sure if the wind is gonna fuck up this recording. I'm gonna reinforce my recorder. Hopefully that does the trick, but I don't know, it is really windy out. See, the weather took a definite bad turn where I thought it just wasn't gonna be nice at all anymore. We were just gonna slide right into fall and winter. But then it got nice again, and today, I don't know, today seemed nice, and so I decided to come up to Hyde Park. It's the big park in Toronto. I don't live anywhere near here anymore, so I had to take a subway, which is also something I don't do often, because the subways are really expensive here. It's $3 for a ride, so it's a $6 round trip. That adds up fast. But today I decided to come out here just to get into the woods for a bit. But now it's extremely windy, and little patches of rain here and there. Still a nice enough day. I'm glad I came out here. Maybe it's better than it being like blazing hot. But yeah, oh man, I don't know. I guess a lot of this show is the chronicles of my fucking crappy days, because I don't know, I just don't feel like doing it when I'm in a good mood. But then if I'm in a bad mood and I record some crap, it does make me feel better a lot of times. Yeah, I just woke up in the fucking worst mood today. I don't know why. Just... I know I'm definitely behind on sleep in general. Had a couple of really weird days this past week of just staying up until like 8 in the morning. I didn't do that yesterday, but I still stayed up pretty late, and yeah, you know, I'm just not caught up. Makes every little thing seem frustrating. I was thinking about that, like, I used to get in these weird fights with Ian in New York, where I would just kind of lose patience with her so quickly. And it's one of those things that, you know, it kind of slipped my mind, because I don't know, it's not that hard for me to rile myself up in general, but it really happened a lot with her, and it's like, man, weird, why is that? It's like whatever kind of forlorn loneliness I might feel now, I don't know, maybe it is better than being with someone. Man, that's windy. And, I don't know, just being in a bad fucking mood all the time. Or way more often. A big part of it was my sleep schedule was just the shittiest, because we always had to get up so early because of her job. And I never had enough sleep, and that really hurts my mood bad. This is almost like a little mini tornado. Like little pieces of debris, woods debris, or hit me in the face. But I was thinking about it, and like, it couldn't have just been. I mean, it's like, you know, I'd get up and it'd be really early in the morning, and then I'd be riding the subway. I realized that today too. I was kind of excited to hop on the subway and go someplace. Like, I used to love doing that in Vancouver. You could get on the SkyTrain and, you know, travel pretty far. And it was almost like going on a little vacation to another town. And it's all above ground, so you get to look outside and watch the scenery go by and see some sunlight. I always enjoyed that a lot. Whereas here, you know, the subway is 95% underground. And, yeah, I don't know. It's starting to wear off on me, I guess, the New York versus Toronto, where, yeah, it's way cleaner here than it was in New York. The subway is much better. But it's still not great, you know? The SkyTrain is still a lot cleaner than here. So, you know, everything here seemed so sparkling just because it was so much better than New York. But that might be starting to wear off a little. Anyway, yeah, riding the train, you know, it wasn't that long of a ride, 20 minutes maybe, but I just was like, God, I hate this. I hate being in this train, you know, I hate it. And I used to have to ride the train all the time in New York, and man, I don't miss that. Like, I haven't been on the subway here for a long time, since I think Jesse Joyce came to town, and that was like 2 months ago or more. And that was like, I was riding with somebody and just blabbing anyway, it wasn't as bad. So yeah, it would be that. I'd wake up in the morning in New York and be really tired, and then ride that awful train at the rush hour for everyone getting to work, all the little fucking ants going to their little hive or whatever the fuck, running the treadmill. And but then I think the final thing, the final nail in the coffin, where I think is why I just so easily frustrated by the situation. So I think I always knew that Ian was not the right kind of person for me. Just too many differences in opinion. We have some fundamental differences in our personal philosophies that just were not going to get ironed out. And it's now that it's been like some time. I mean, I haven't seen her in over a year now. I'm finally starting to maybe be able to see things a little more clearly than I could, or see things in a larger capacity, see more of the big picture. And I think, I don't know, see, initially, I guess I felt like it was a step up to date Ian, when I just knew the surface of her. She seemed so cool and so hip and so, I guess maybe because she wasn't like me, it was like the nerdy dude trying to go out with the cool chick, and it's like, how can I ever pull this off? And then when I did, I was like, fuck yeah, I'm the best, I did that. But then the more I got to know her, I think somewhere in the back of my head, you know, I started to realize how wrong she was for me. And then maybe I started to feel, like, it's hard to say definitively, but I think there's a good possibility that somewhere in my subconscious, I was feeling resentful that I kind of, like, cause I felt like I needed a girlfriend in New York. I needed somebody, you know? I needed to be with somebody. Maybe not even just from New York, just in general, in life. And that my desperation had led me to this situation that was not the right situation to be in. I think part of me knew that. Whoa, a branch just fell off a tree. Whoa. Like I'm in a wind tunnel, man. What the shit? That's insane. Yeah, so I think that led to a lot of my dickishness was just, I don't know, I guess I was disappointed in myself that I had What the fuck was that? Ah, Jesus Christ. Holy shit, I don't know what just hit me. Some kind of stick or something? Jesus fucking God, I gotta get out of here. I'm getting pelted with stuff. Fuck. Alright, whatever. Enough of my ramblings. It's not important. It's all the past. So, yeah, I was listening through that, the third Our Lady Peace album, and, you know, that's when I fell off the wagon and I stopped paying attention to that band, and it took some time for me to boil it down to, its real component parts, the things that I like, and it basically just boiled down to One Man Army, their first single from that album that I always liked, and then that song Happiness and the Fish that I played here and on EXO. That's how much I liked that song, and I thought that was it. But I found one last song on that album that I like, and I like it a lot. It's called Annie. And the chorus just reminds me of kind of like a 70s song. It's just a really weird sounding little chorus. And then there's this bridge that's like, that's where the 90s sound hits, and I don't know. Somewhat of an odd song, but I like it a lot. Oh, and before I play that, one last Our Lady Peace thing also. I found a demo for, what is that song called? It's about the best day of your life. It was the first single from the album they put out in like 2005. Where Are You, I think it was called. And it's pretty cool. I found the demo for it. And there's a part of it that's different than the final song. But it's also neat because it's only like a minute and a half long. And it's like a... I wonder how, if a lot of bands demo songs that way. Like, it's like cut down to the bare minimum. Like, these are the pieces of a song. All we gotta do is arrange these the right way. In some manner of, you know, verse, chorus, verse configuration. And we can stretch this out to a 3.5 minute, 4 minute song. But this is the 1.5 minute, no fucking around version. And I thought that was kind of neat. So I'm going to play the demo version of Where Are You and then Annie, both by Our Lady Peace, while I try not to get fucking assaulted by random pieces of the forest being blown at me. Man, yeah, something hit my wrist and it was like, felt like a rock. It really was like shit.
I've been dreaming.
Man, I literally got hit in the fucking head by a branch. Like a branch fell out of a tree and hit me right in the forehead. Not too big a one, but I mean, it was a little bit of a fucking shock. It was like, I gotta get out of here. This is like a war zone. Like, what the fuck? So I went for a little walk, sort of through the woods, around, down a hill. I didn't really know where I was going. Got to a highway, and the lights were out. The wind must have blown something down. So I couldn't really cross, because I kind of observed for a bit to see if I could, but without the lights, people regulated themselves pretty well. But it meant a constant stream of traffic. Like, there were no stops long enough to let a pedestrian walk across. So I just had to walk down the highway. And on the way there, I found a really nice little spot where there is a highway behind me, but, you know, put on some music, it's easy enough to ignore. And in front of me, I'm sitting on this bench. A lot of these benches are memorial benches, I noticed. This one is in memory of Terry Levis, who loved Grenadier Pond and High Park, from the family and friends who cherish his memory. I remember when I first got to Vancouver, the park near my house had a bench that was dedicated to somebody who was a soccer coach or something, and it seemed nice. It's like, hey, it would be nice to have someone dedicate a bench to you when you die, you know, at least it's somebody remembered you. That's cool. Anyway, in front of me is, I don't know what this lake is called, but whatever the lake is at High Park. So it's quite a nice little spot just to have a sit, and there's like trees and tall grass, like reeds all around, and they block a lot of the wind. Nice and cool. So I'm just sitting here. I just finished reading The Hand of Robin Squires. It's a book that I read when I was in elementary school. Or no, I guess junior high school. 7th or 8th grade. That I remember liking. And I can only remember these vague things. It's about Oak Island in Nova Scotia, and they're digging this big pit to bury treasure in there. And I remembered the treasure pit, and I remembered a guy getting his hand cut off, and I thought I remembered somebody who was like a girl who had to dress like a guy to stow away on a ship, but that must have been from another story, because that wasn't in this particular one. But it's cool, I found it online for a couple of bucks. Got to read it again. Very nice book, like really, really good for like a young adult book. I like it a lot. It's, you know, a little bit weird to read it as a grown-up because it's not meant for a grown-up, but by the end, had a really good ending. You know, nice to go back and revisit stuff from your past and have it be good and not sucky. Yeah, so I also got Maison Ikkoku. It's this comic book from Japan I used to like a lot. I found a random volume, volume 13, for like $3 at a used bookstore, so I'm just sitting here reading that and listening to music. And I still have a massive amount of Sloan stuff on my MP3 player. There's this song called Same Old Flame that was like a B-side in Canada. Kind of hard to come across. But I'm pretty sure it was on the American release of their third album, One Chord to Another. Like, all the foreign editions, you know, the Japanese imports and stuff, they always have extra songs that we didn't get here in Canada. And in Sloan has, like, a digital music store on their site now. And you can go listen to songs. You should totally check it out, because Sloan is a really good band. So they just put out, like, a digital compilation of all their leftover B-side type stuff. And this song is so good, it's called Same Old Flame. And I know I've played it somewhere way back in the past. Same Old Flame is just one of these songs that is just like a perfect song to me. Just like every little bit of it is just so perfect. Like West Coast by Coconut Records. Like one of these songs that's just perfect. And no matter how many times I hear it, just reminds me of things from my past and just makes me feel really sentimental. It's just a really good song. So this is Same Old Flame by Sloan.
Drank it all to the last taste. Woke up with a fresh face. Another day in the UK. Everybody surrounds us. Living high on a tour bus. It's not that bad. The best we've had. I ate Italian and Germany. Burn it down. major cause of damage between us. It's a major cause of damage between us.
So it is like an hour later. The sun is definitely going down, and it goes down fast this time of year. It won't be long till it's dark. But I walk down to the lakeshore and kept walking west. I think I'm further out now than I've ever been. I remember I was out here once before for a ham radio. I remember I walked across this white bridge. I was talking about Elliot Smith. I remember I played two different versions of Baby Britain. But this time I kept going even further. And man, it's just really pretty. I found a like you are here sign. I can still see the CN Tower. I'm looking at it right now. It's a ways. It's pretty far away. But I'm outside of the official city limits of Toronto at this point. I could probably walk to Mississauga. I might do that sometime. But I'm in between Mississauga and Toronto. So, I mean, I guess it's basically still Toronto. The way on the other side, it's Scarborough. And this is called Etobicoke? I don't really know how to say it. But it's totally insane. This whole waterfront part, just for miles. It's just gorgeous. It's just beach and rocks. Paths. It's ludicrously nice. I wish it wasn't... I don't know. It's not so bad. I mean, I could walk here, but... Maybe I should just start getting some transit passes. I just gotta accept the fact that I'm gonna have to lay down some transit money to start getting to these places that are cool to go to. But right now, I'm just sitting at a picnic table that somebody left on the beach. Not somebody, it's clearly, you know, deliberate. The city put it here. And I'm looking out at the lake, and it could be the ocean. You know, it's so huge, you can't see the other side. And just, you know, the wind is still, it's not as windy as before, but still kind of windy. The waves are pretty decent. Just watching the waves roll in. And it's just nice. I don't know, whatever problems in my brain when I woke up that finally passed. It's like waiting for the wave to break, I guess, in my own head. It's like I just gotta be outside enough, with nature enough. To just shake all that other shit, like, I don't know, just stuck in my dumb little house and, I don't know, wrestling with the internet, because I don't really have internet at my house. And, like at the library where I would usually go to download things, they've throttled torrents. Torrents don't seem to work anymore. Can't really download TV shows. And there's all just the standard shit. Like, I don't know, I've been meaning to write my taxes for a while. I still haven't. There's the larger problem of trying to figure out what to do for a job and stuff. Just all this shit. All this shit that I just not... Ugh, you know? Just get out into the world and just... I've been doing it a lot lately, just getting out of the house, but takes some time, you know, it does take some time to shake yourself loose. If it was warmer out, I almost think I would try to find somewhere to just camp out for the night. I don't know if that's really realistic in the city. I don't know if I can do that. But now it's just getting too cold. But yeah, I mean, since I got money, you know, I can still, like, just go to a restaurant and get something to eat. Like, it's not exactly rough in it. It might be nice just to get away. It's weird, though, in, you know, this connected world with all the internet and telephones and stuff. I mean, I'm not as connected as other people. I don't have an iPhone. I can't do internet shit on my phone. I don't even Twitter from it. But still, I guess this isn't so weird. I mean, if I was to go out and walk around at any point in my life, you know, I'd bring a Walkman or something. But I do kind of feel like I've got this MP3 player with music and... Oh, hold on.
Howdy.
That was just my friend Brad wanted to see if I was doing anything, but I'm a little too far away. He's in downtown and, you know, I'm a couple miles from there, so it would take too long to rendezvous. I was thinking it might be my friend Brian. He does a podcast called Air Out My Shorts. And I've missed a couple calls from him to be appear on the show. So he said he might call today, gave me advance warning. So I thought it might be him, but it wasn't. It's one of those things, I don't like phone call shit in podcasts. And people do shit over Skype and stuff, or just phone-ins. It just sounds like shit, and it's awkward, and it's not, I don't know. I don't care for it. But, you know, whatever, I'll give this a shot, but... But yeah, so I got this MP3 player that I loaded up with music and podcasts and stuff. And it's like, even when I'm out in the world, you know, like today I deliberately went out of my way to go to High Park and be in the woods, and now I'm here sitting by the water. But I feel a bit like I'm, you know, like I'm on the moon. You know, I still need my suit with my air hose connecting me to the mothership. You know, I still got these podcasts so I can listen to, you know, video game podcasts or something. Even while I'm out in the world, like, I don't want to just be out here all alone with nothing in my brain to keep me company. This is definitely going to be the laudanum, the cocaine in the Coca-Cola, the lithium in the 7-Up, the stuff about the past that we thought was crazy and weird. Future generations are going to look back at how connected we were, and it's going to seem excessive, hopefully, or it won't seem excessive because they've totally gone off the rails. But I think there will be, you know, the wave has got to break. You know, there's going to be a return to the nature. There has to be shit like these. I mean, the WoW kids are the super example of it, but just, yeah, spending all your life online, it's weird. It's nice just to be out here. This is very pretty. Glad I made it out here while the weather's still sort of good. I'm gonna dig through my MP3 player and try to find another song to play. I'm not sure what I want to play. A nice older couple just walked by, just hanging out down by the beach. A lot of people walking around down here. See how this holds up in the winter. Last winter I did spend some time down by the water, and it's a lot colder and windier, but still kind of nice. And there's no one around. Oh, I wanted to say about Maison à Coco. Man, I started reading that some more. And Japanese sensibilities are so weird in their storytelling. Like, so much of the plot of that comic just comes down to the fact that people don't communicate in even a basic fucking way. Just so many misunderstandings based on the fact that they don't want to just fucking talk to each other. It's so weird. Still pretty amusing, though. also bought, I found a convenience store earlier, which, like, thank God, speaking of being out in the world, I was just, like, dehydrated. I was so parched. And I just kept walking and walking. And when I saw a little convenience store pop up, a gas station, oh, man, it was just like finding an oasis in the desert. It was fucking gorgeous. Made me so happy. So I figured since I'm way out here having my little adventure, I might as well go all out. So instead of just buying some normal fruit nut stuff, this is Crispy Kernel Fruit Explosion. Super deluxe. Instead of being like $1.50, this one's like $4 because it's got crazy ingredients. It's like kiwi slices, strawberries, raspberries, all kinds of weird, crazy dried fruit. It's kind of good. Anyway, I thought of the song I want to play. It's the Midnight Juggernauts. Speaking of Ian, that's a band she introduced me to, and they got this song called Road to Recovery. It's the first song I heard by them because we were on the subway. It was one of the above ground subways. We were on the JMZ, so that was a little better. At least I remember the day. I remember there being sun coming in from the outside, but we're on the train going to work, and I remember she was like, hey, listen to this song, this will cheer you up. She put in her headphones, and or like one headphone in my ear, one in her ear, played this song and like did a little dance to it on the subway. It was kind of awesome, and it's a really good song. So this is Road to Recovery by the Midnight Juggernauts. We'll be right back.
Wow, so this is pretty fucking crazy. I'm a lot further away than I thought I was. The sun has finally gone down. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. Yeah, the moon has risen. I couldn't tell what it was at first. It was covered by some clouds, I guess. I could only see half of it. And it was right next to the CN Tower. It looked like a big parachute or something. Like a glowing parachute just hanging in the sky. And I was like, what the fuck is that? Like, surely I would notice a landmark that was almost as big as the CN Tower. Yeah, it turns out it was the moon. But I thought I could walk kind of straight back across to downtown. But I realized now I'm sitting on some these giant rocks. Big rocks next to the shore. And there's like this huge fucking bay. Like, I'm looking right at downtown. There's the CN Tower. There's the TD building. BMO. But between me and there is water. This enormous bay of water. I'm gonna have to walk all the way around it. So instead I'm just sitting on this big rock. Looking at the city. Listening to the waves. That's one thing I've been thinking a lot of lately. Get a little hippie-ish on ya. Man, I'm just trying to imagine that building. The Burj... What's it called? The building in Dubai. That's twice as tall as the observation deck of the CN Tower. So I'm looking at the CN Tower, because, you know, I'm very far away. From my perspective, it's about, you know, tallest man-made structure in North America. It looks about 10 inches tall. But the CN Tower, like, that's the winner right there in North America. It's super tall. And just, I'm thinking if that Dubai building were standing next to it, you know, like, I'm trying to imagine that, seeing that in the fucking skyline. It looks like a Star Destroyer from Star Wars on its side, like it's landed. It's fucking insane. But anyway, this panorama I've got of the city is pretty amazing because there's just, you know, my whole 180 degrees of vision, you know, behind me is just rocks. So that whole 180 is all water. And then to the right is water limitlessly, you know, off into the horizon, the full draw distance. And then to the left, across this bay, is like a, you know, about a mile wide span of water. And all along the edge of it is the city. You can just see the lights of it. And there aren't even that many lights. You know, because it's a Canadian city. High Park must be over there. Like, a lot of trees interrupting the lights. But it's a lot of city, you know? And I think it's one of these things, the more you do it, the easier it gets to get back into that mindset. But I've been thinking about just how absurdly lucky we are to be in the world that we're in. Just the idea that if it weren't for this surplus energy that people have expended, you know, the positive energy to build things, that all these generations that came before me, none of this would be here, you know? That's why it's so tiresome to, like, get in arguments about, like, the relative merits of, like, the internet and stuff. It's just so narrow. The focus is too narrow. It's like, just look at all of this. Look at all of this stuff. It's fucking insane. So I try to imagine what it would be like before. That's why I got me interested in that book, The Hand of Robin Squires, again, actually, as it reminded me of it. So I was down by the lake shore, and they have all these little, like, informational plaques about what it looked like originally and when the settlers first arrived. So I wanted to read a book from that era, and then I remembered that kid's book from when I was growing up. But just that this would just be forest. This would all just be nothing. There'd just be nothing here. Forest and trees and, you know, essentially uninhabitable. really, for the type of lifestyle that I've, learned to take for granted, the way that I am. I wouldn't make it too far with just nothing but trees, and just, it's amazing, all this stuff. So easy to take for granted, so easy to find fault, so easy to complain, so easy to just be in a bad mood. But man, this stuff is just nuts. And this too, just getting a little bit outside of the city makes a big difference. Toronto really is an insanely nice city. I can't believe the bad PR it has within Canada. It's so unfair. I'm gonna play another Midnight Juggernaut song. This one's called Dystopia. Much further away from home than I realized. I guess it makes sense. I mean, I took a 20-minute subway ride to start this off and then walked for hours, you know? Wow. So, yeah, Buttons called me up. I did the call-in for his show. Yeah, I've just been walking and walking and walking. The CN Tower now is back to life-size. I'm still, though, probably a good half an hour away from getting home. But I was listening to a video game podcast, a guy who used to work for Bethesda, so they were talking about Fallout. Fallout 3 and Fallout New Vegas is coming out. And I really liked Fallout 3. I liked the setting of it, you know, and the grind of post-apocalypse and trying to survive. Problem is, then you'd talk to people and the dialogue was badly written and poorly acted. And I feel like that's a place where I could excel. I would be a great writer for a game like Fallout 3. My recorder just turned off spontaneously. It's been doing that lately. It did survive the fire, but it
didn't survive entirely. It's starting to show its age. Man, where the fuck do I go now? Like, this has just been this, like, wandering through the dark at night. Never know where the fuck I'm supposed to go. So now I'm at Ontario Place. It's like where they have, it's where they had the big fair that I talked about at the other end of the show. But now I'm in like a parking lot in the middle of the night. There's some dude in his car. I'm like, fuck, where do I go, man? Where do I go from here? It's very confusing and lonely. Anyway, yeah, so I was just like dying of thirst again. But just far from anything, because this is like sort of the industrial part of town, I guess, or it's just not a place you're supposed to walk around on foot. So I'm like not going to find anywhere anytime soon. But at the guest services thing for Ontario Place, there was a pop machine. So I went over there and, like, you know, there's nobody around, it's just me, a highway in the distance, really dark, just the glow of this pop machine. And I've been fucked by these things before, where it's like 3 in the morning and you got no choice. You put a bunch of money in and then they don't work. But I was like, ah, fuck it. Okay, I got to try this. And it's $2.75 for a bottle of anything, even water. But I had that Fallout thing in my brain. I was like, this is kind of like Fallout. This is like, I'm just... This is the modern equivalent in our soft world of just like, I just got to do it. I got no choice. Like, at least this machine's here, you know? The convenience for me of putting a machine in such an inconvenient place, I guess that's worth $2.75, and I need something to drink. So I'm getting coins, luckily I had enough. Had to pull out the little, I have a really weak little flashlight on my keychain. Just to try to figure out where to put the money in. Where the fuck does this go? Does this just take me back around? Fuck, man. Still windy as shit. Oh, I saw some boats that were moored off the edge of the coast of the lake broke away from their moorings and got blown up onto the beach. Like 3 boats just like crashed up on the side because it's so fucking windy today. So I'm putting in the coins in this little glow of this machine, no one around, very creepy. And then hit the button, a little bottle of iced tea clunked down. So that was good. And then I reach in to get it, and I reach through a bunch of spider webs. Because no one uses this machine. Just fucked up. Fucking weird.